Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in the time of need. Our Father, we come to you tonight and we ask for your grace that we need and mercy, and Lord, that you would help us tonight in the preaching of this message. We pray most of all, Lord, that you would be with our pastor and touch his body, be with the doctors, give them wisdom, help them to find out exactly what's wrong and do what's necessary to correct it. Pray that he'd be able to be up and around in just a short time, even tomorrow, Lord, that you would work your will in his life. Lord, be with Brother Jerry and his wife as they're away, and give them safety and a good time while they're there. And Lord, we pray that you'd just meet every need, but especially meet the needs of our life here tonight and draw us closer to Christ, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to look especially at verse 16 tonight. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. And we're a needy bunch. All we have to do is just look in the mirror every day, and we find out what needs we have. Amen. It's easy to look at other people and see what we think they need. Sometimes it's easy to tell them what we think they need. Amen. But every day we look in the mirror, and we do well just take care of that one person. And God's there continually for us. He's as close as getting on our knees before our Savior and praying. We can obtain mercy and find grace. I would ask prayer for a special family tonight. This has been a rough day. I was going to a funeral this morning. On the way to the funeral, I found out that another dear friend had passed away last night. Some of you may know Tim Strange from Hymera. Passed away last night. And then I got the call this afternoon after I came back, or Connie got the call before I even got back, that the pastor was in the hospital. So we're a needy people. And there are people that have needs much worse than what we probably have, what most of us have gone through. Some have gone through some tremendous trials and tribulations in their life. And I haven't. I'm thankful that I haven't had to go through what some people. I've never lost a child. I've never lost a loved one that was real close to me, that wasn't elderly, that was expected to pass on. You know, when some people pass on, it's, and especially if they're Christians and you know they're going on to heaven, even though there's a miss in your life and in your heart with them, it's not a tragic time. But there have been those who have lost children. Now, I didn't know this, Teresa and the one that lost the 14-year-old last week that was being talked about. But what a tragic thing to lose a child. Any parent in here would say, Lord, take me instead. Let it be me if we had that choice. But we don't. God, in his infinite wisdom, does what he does, allows what he allows, and it happens. And sometimes we look at things as being almost unbearable, but there's nothing unbearable. When we look back and think about what the Lord went through, tempted in all the manners that we're tempted and all the things, and yet without sin, he's been there, done that. Not a one of us can say that we've been in any greater trial or tribulation than what our Lord went through. So when we go through it, he's not back there saying, hip, hip, hooray, go on, you're going to make it. He says, I've been there, done that, and I'll help you through it. I know the way through it. Amen? Now, I want to look at some admonitions that we have in Scripture to pray. Matthew 26:41 says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And that's an admonition that we as Christians need to adhere to every day. And what that means is we need to be alert, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And yes, it's talking about you and it's talking about me. And there's not a one of us that's a step ahead of the devil. We sometimes, because we haven't been through things, and we sort of get the idea like, well, I'm sort of oblivious to that, or I'm sort of protected against that. But there's not a thing that's happened to someone else that couldn't happen to every one of us in here tonight. And we need to be alert. We need to watch and pray. Watch and pray, both of them. Most of the time we pray, but most of our prayer is this: whenever we're in a corner somewhere and the devil's got us boxed in, all of a sudden we become prayer warriors. But that prayer ought to be daily. When things are going well, you ought to be on your knees before God, thanking God that things are going well. Amen. Because the devil can come along and knock it out from under you. But watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. And that's the temptation to do wrong, the temptation to sin, the temptation to live for self instead of living for God. Luke 18:1 says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Pray and not faint. We need to be strong. Remember the admonition to Daniel and his friends, to be strong. To Joshua, be strong. And we need to be strong, but not in ourselves. We're strong in our Savior. And as the Savior abides in us, he only abides in us as we're students of this word. Amen. We need to read the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God. We need to absorb the Word of God. Even as the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." So we need to be alert. We need to be strong. Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Sometimes things are going wrong and people are in positions that they didn't necessarily ask for. God, for whatever reason, allowed them to be in it. And we just don't know how to pray. You know, when someone's sick, we want to pray that they'll be healed. When someone's having financial problems, we want to pray that they'll have a good job and be able to pay their bills and do the things. But sometimes things happen in a person's life that we just don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray for. But the devil, Holy Spirit always knows how to pray. And I think that this teaches us humility. We need to be humble, because we don't have all the answers. Connie thinks I do. She's telling me all the time, said, "You know everything." Well, I don't know everything, but what I don't know is not worth knowing. And the sooner she learns that, the better off we'll both be.
That's preaching,
brother. Amen. Amen. Okay, but we need to be humble and come before our God and just say, "Here I am, Lord. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I don't know how to do it. But let the Holy Spirit be in you. And the Spirit helpeth our infirmities." And infirmities doesn't necessarily mean sickness. It means anything. It can be a troubled mind, can be a troubled heart, can be trouble at work, can be trouble in your family, whatever it is. But the Holy Spirit will help us and bring us to a point that we can pray, and he'll pray for us and pray with us. But we got to submit ourselves. Most of us are so self-sufficient that we don't think we need the Lord. I mean, you know, who do we think gave us good health? Who do we think allowed us to be born here in America? I mean, every day when we hear of things in Ethiopia and all the third world countries and things like that, and the down in Haiti and you know, some of the most poverty-stricken countries on the world, we could have been born there. Why did God allow to put us here? I don't know. But I thank God for it. And I want to take the resources that I have and the abilities that I have and be something for God. You know, not that we're going to be famous. Most of us will never be known outside of our own little group here. But thank God within our group and within our community and within the areas that we are right here, we can be known as men and women of God that are on a mission for God to win souls. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And we need to be consistent. Not only pray when the pastor's sick, but we need to pray for him every day when he's as healthy as can be. Pastor Jerry and Cheryl and Sister Donna and the deacons and our Sunday school teachers and our bus workers, we need to pray for them every day. Now, I don't know about you, but if I just try to retain that in my memory, I don't pray for them. But when I open my Bible to read it every day and I've got a prayer list inside my Bible, I remember every one of those to pray for. And when people have the needs, you make a notation on it. Now, I'll be truthful with you. I don't make notations of every prayer request that's given here. Maybe I should, but I don't. But the ones that I know, and sometimes the Lord just lays upon my heart some other people that I've never known, that something's mentioned. But I don't want to be overwhelmed with everything to where I pray for nothing. But the ones that God lays upon my heart that I make a notation of and I look at and I pray for them. One of the things that I've done here recently is Brother Charles's Sunday school class. I got to ask her to ask Ruthie to give us a list of the kids in their class. And almost, not every day, but almost every day, I pray for Charles and Ruthie, for the health problems, for their Sunday school class, but I pray by name for each one of those kids that they gave me on there. And I noticed last Sunday, I could rejoice within my own heart because two of the baptismal certificates that were passed out were two of the names that I recognized from my list. You see, if I don't have that, I wouldn't pray for them. But I want to be consistent. I want to do it every day. I don't do it every day, but I do it almost every day. And consistency. Having, you know, most of us are scatterbrained. Amen? Okay, ladies, it's your chance to say amen. But we are scatterbrained. We got, Brother Tommy just put his mouth over Stephanie's hand over her mouth. I saw it open, getting ready to go. He stopped her just in time. Okay. But we need to be consistent. And we need to, I'm a creature of habit. And if I can start a habit, I'll stay with it. Now, it's easy to start bad habits. It's difficult to start good habits. You've got to work at it. You've got to say, I'm going to do it. You've got to set a time to do it and do it. But the thing is, pray without ceasing. Be consistent. Pray when people are healthy, the ones that are on your list. Pray when they're sick. Pray when there's a need. Pray when there's not a need. Pray that there will not be a need. Amen? And we need that. We need it for our families, for our children, for our grandchildren, and each other, and just do it. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. We need to be pure when we come in prayer. Amen? That's probably the most difficult point of the message tonight. We're not very pure. Now, I don't know you, And I'm thankful you don't know me very well. But I know that I'm not a pure person, apart from what the Holy Spirit can do in me. I try to be, but I'm not always. But I strive for it. And that ought to be the goal in our life, that when we come before the Lord, first of all, we need to look and see what would stand in the way of us having answered prayer.
Amen.
Husband and wives, do you know that when you're not in a good relationship, your prayers are hindered?
Yes.
Oh my. Oh my. No wonder our country is in the shape it's in. When more people divorce every day than marry, and even more people just shack up instead of getting married, no wonder prayers don't get anywhere. Husband and wives ought to be prayer partners, praying one for another. And when you come to the Lord to pray, you need to make sure that there's a pure heart. The next thing, James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I think this says we need to be compassionate. You know, what do we do when somebody is telling someone else a tale out of turn and we hear it? What do? The old natural thing is, what? What'd you say? What happened? Who did what? Who said what? We want to get all the scoop on the nasty stuff, when we ought to be on our knees saying, God, help them to overcome it. Now, I don't know about you. Preachers are probably more notorious for this than people in the pew. We get together as preachers and we talk about all the other preachers. We shouldn't, but it happens. And I've had it happen where I've no more than walked away and I've thought to myself, oh God, what have we just done? And you have to confess it. But here it says, confess your faults one to another. Not so that the one you confess it to can go out and spread the word. But if someone comes to you in confidence and says, I'm having a problem and I need some help. I need somebody to lift me up and to help me bear this burden. It ought to be in confidence. And do you know what? In this day and age, I don't know very many people that I'd put that confidence in. Now, I think I know a lot of you here at church that I would. That if I come to you and I said, I'm having this problem and I need somebody to help me, I think you would listen to me and I think you would take it in confidence, as should I, or should the pastor or anybody else that would talk to you in a completely private way. And sometimes we need someone like that, but it's a scary thing to go and bare your heart before someone. And I don't admonish you to do that. The Bible does, but I wouldn't. Sometimes there may be things that you just need to take to the Lord. And He's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
That you know has your best interest at heart, and only your best interest. That's not going to spread the garbage on you. You may have a friend that you can do that. And if you do, if you've got a friend that you've got that kind of confidence in, you are one lucky person. Because most of us don't have people like that other than our spouse. And husband and wives, you ought to have that confidence in each other. And you ought to have that compassion one towards another, that if there is a problem, that you seek a godly solution to it. So those are admonitions to pray. Now, why should we pray? First of all, prayer acknowledges that there is a God.
Amen.
And this day and age, we need to make that aware to people. We're in a generation now that's probably in the second generation that they know not the Lord. Bus workers can tell you this. You go out, and I'm confident that if you go out and you meet new kids on the street and you ask them about Jesus Christ, other than knowing that is a curse word, they don't know he's the Son of God. You ask them about Moses. They have no idea who Moses. They don't know the old Bible stories. They don't know Daniel. They don't know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, those are names that are as foreign to them as a Russian name or a Greek name or anything else that they have no understanding of. But when we pray as a godly group and as individuals and we get answers to prayer, that proves that there's a God. Nothing else proves there's a God any more than answered prayer. May not prove it to your neighbor, may not prove it to your family, but when God answers prayer that you prayed specifically for, and God answers it and gives you that peace of mind and peace of heart, you know there's a God in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Genesis 1:1 just says, in the beginning, God. And I would say that most all of us here today take that exactly what it means. God was, God is, God always will be. He was before creation began. He was there in creation. And when this world is coming to an end and we go into eternity, God is there. And it's the God of the Bible, the living God. It's not the God of Allah. It's not the God of rock and stone and trees and sky and sun. It is the God of the Bible that is a loving and caring and compassionate God, but it is also a God that is vengeful, that is jealous, and that will carry out exactly what his word says.
Amen.
Prayer acknowledges that there is a God, then too, that there can be a relationship with God. John 17:3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. There is a relationship that unsaved don't understand. As I said a while ago, Jesus Christ is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And if you've been through trials and tribulations and heartaches, whatever they are, and that peace that passeth all understanding, that keeps your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, you know what I'm talking about. They don't. And they won't until they come to Jesus Christ. The third thing, there is more than a relationship. There's also a communion with God. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. The communion, the constant fellowship that we have. You know, sometimes in my prayer life, there are times that I go into my office and kneel down at my chair and pray down on my knees. And I think that's good. But I've been thinking about something. You know, every time you hear somebody preach on prayer, you think, well, what kind of a prayer life that I have? But I've thought about this. And where the Bible says pray without ceasing, I don't think there's a person this side of heaven, including my wife, that I talk to more than the Lord. I mean, I don't care what it is or where I'm at. First thing in the morning when I get up, I try to think something about the Lord. Pull into Walmart. Isn't it funny? You go into City Walmart, and if you get within about 100 spaces, you think, oh boy, I go down to Sullivan. If I don't get within 2 spaces, I think, Lord, what happened? But you know what happens usually? I say, Lord, I don't like to walk a long way. And more often than not, I get a spot, about 2 or 3 spots from the front. I do it at Sullivan. I do it at Terre Haute. We go to a restaurant. I like to park close. I guess I'm lazy. But whenever I pull in, especially when it's raining, say, Lord, I'd sure like to have a close spot up front. And I pull in, and there's one there. What do you do? I say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I believe God allows us to get things like that. The little kid with their little puppy, or the little Connie with her kittens and cats. You pray about things like that. When I'm driving down the highway, no matter what's going on in my mind, more often than not, I'm talking to the Lord. Well, you understand, that's prayer. That's communion. That's fellowship. And we have that with the Lord. He's not some big old God way, way off somewhere that we got to come on our hands and knees and beg Him for whatever we want, although sometimes maybe we should. Maybe we ought to humble ourselves to do that. But He is right there all the time and constantly available. So we have the communion. Communion has the idea of partnership and participation with God. Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Amen. We're on God's side. What can the world do to me? Take my wealth, take my health, take my family, but they can't take eternity from any of us. Amen. What a partnership when we team up with the Lord. The Lord and us make a majority, always, in all circumstances. Secondly, prayer acknowledges that we have a need. Our current need is salvation, of which most of us have experienced. And I got a bunch of verses here, but I'm only going to give you one or two. Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now, I believe my Bible from cover to cover.
Amen.
And it says there's none other name than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't think Allah can save me. I don't think Buddha can save me.
Amen.
I don't think any of the other religions can save me. Am I narrow-minded? Absolutely, yes. I'm proud of it because I believe God's word and I see what God's word has done for so many. My God does not train young men to go out and commit suicide and kill innocent people. And any religion that teaches that is false through and through. And we're going to see more and more of it in America. I just finished reading the book of Daniel. And I went back and reread Daniel chapter 11. I believe that probably Islam is going to take over America. Now, I may be wrong, but I look for that to happen. Somewhere or another, America's got to be completely put on the back burner. And we're headed there now. If we're not on the back burner, we're crossing from the front to the back right now. As far as world dominion and the power and all that we've had because of the righteousness of God, we're losing it. There's none other name but Jesus Christ that'll bring the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." I'm not worried about what's going to happen. If somebody come in and took over America right now, we may face some heartaches and trials and tribulations. It's happened in China. It's happened in other countries where the Christian church, the church of God, has had to go underground. You can't come and meet in a building. I wonder tonight, if we were like that tonight and we were having to meet out in the woods under the secrecy of darkness, how many of us would have been there tonight? You see, it'll sift the wheat from the chaff. And you better decide right now which you want to be. And I want to be on the right side if that ever comes. I don't want that to come. But if it ever does, I want to be on the right side. The second thing, prayer acknowledges we have a need. Our current need is salvation, but our constant need is security. Leviticus 25:18, "Wherefore ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land in safety." Not necessarily without trial and tribulation, but in safety. I just looked at a book that my son had, and I haven't read it yet, but one of the old times, I didn't notice the name, there were a couple, three different names, but it just come to my mind on this. But back during the death of the martyrs, when they were being burned at the stake, one of them was burned at the stake. And as they lit the fire around him, he was praying. And as the fire came up and began to engulf his body, totally engulf the body, that the believers were watching him to see what happened. And even as the flames totally engulfed the body, they could still see the lips moving, talking to his Savior. Do we have that in us? I don't know. I would like to think that I would. And I know what's right. And I know this, that my God is sufficient for all of my needs. Safe. Proverbs 29:5, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And then in John chapter 10, 27-29, how often do we quote that when we're trying to give peace and comfort to people and get them to understand that when God saves them, what does God do when he saves you? My sheep hear my voice and I know them, said Jesus, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Oh, what a security we have to know that Jesus Christ is our Savior. No matter what befalls you, no matter what tragedies, no matter what comes along, you're safe in the hands of your loving Savior. Amen. And no man can pluck you out of his hands.
Amen.
Then the next thing, we not only, our current need is salvation, our constant need is security, and our continual need is sustenance. I mean, how do we live in this world? Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches by Christ Jesus. Amen? No matter what God calls you to do, and most of you are not called to a particular ministry other than being here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, being a Sunday school teacher, being a bus worker, being a children's church worker, or if you're just here to fill the pew, to be a help and a blessing to the pastor, we understand not everybody can do everything, but you're here because this is where God has put you, and God's going to meet your needs. But let me say to you, young people, and some of you not so young people that are a little bit older, God calls full-time Christian workers from churches just like this. Where do you think pastors come from? They don't grow under the mulberry tree, I'll guarantee you. They come from local congregations just like this. Where do you think missionaries come from? Like Luke and Hannah. Right out of here, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. God calls. God lays his hand upon someone and said, I want you. Young people, some of you have responded and said, whatever God wants in my life, I'm going to do it. And you ought to do it. But if God calls, and whether God calls you out of here or not, the promise of God's sustenance is real.
Amen.
I will supply all your needs according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus, is what God says. That is an open checkbook to do God's will. Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Not only do we have needs, food, clothing, shelter, but God gives us a lot more. Sometimes we just want things just for the pleasure of things. Now that ought not be a goal in our life. That ought not be priorities in our life. But I thank God that he lets Pastor Jerry and me and David and Brother Brewer, we go out and play golf. They beat the daylights out of me. They did Monday. Jerry had to hurry because he had a wife to go home to and take off on an anniversary thing somewhere. Ruined the game, talked about that the whole time. Couldn't wait to get there and go. But they beat the daylights out of it. But you know what? I'll go back again. They'll probably beat me again. Every once in a while, I happen to have a halfway decent game and beat Brother Jerry. I don't think I've ever beat Dave or Denny. One of these days, I might. But those are things we just enjoy, and God allows us. God's not an old grumpy guy up there that said, no, you're not going to get anything good. Just like we try to give good gifts to our children. When my children were young and came, you know, it didn't take a whole lot of prodding to me to buy them a toy or to go down and get an ice cream cone, get them a little bitty one, me a great big one, but they'd get one. Okay? And we'd do it. Amen? And I enjoy doing that. I'm glad when I... And you think we got a Heavenly Father that's any different than what we are? Listen, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, don't you think our Heavenly Father will give... I mean, look, we got houses, cars. I've got two cars, an old car, if you've seen my old 49 Plymouth. I got an old 10 Chevy pickup. I try not to hit any bumps. I'm afraid the fenders will fall off. But I use that to drive around town. I'm a real redneck. I told Connie I'm going to put my shotgun up in the back window. Amen. I'm trying to get there. I haven't quite yet, but I'm getting pretty close. I take my old dog out for a ride. My dog loves to go for a ride in my truck with me. And see, isn't God good to us? Now, if we don't have that and you're not able to do it, does that mean God's not good to you? No, God's good to all of us in spite of what it is. But because you see, there was a time that I didn't have two cars. There was a time that I couldn't afford to buy golf clubs, let alone go out and play very often. There was a time that other than putting food on the table and clothes on our back, that was about the only spending money we had. But, you know, faithfulness to the Lord, and God just gives and gives and gives so much more. I'm lost. Okay, one more page to go. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. You see, there's an abiding relationship with the Lord. You don't just wake up and say, hey, I'm saved. God, give me everything I want. No, you abide with the Lord. You learn about the Lord. You fellowship with the Lord. You have that constant communion with the Lord. And then these other things just sort of come along with it. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And he'll meet the needs, and he'll direct us, and he'll give us everything we need to get the job done. Prayer acknowledges and proves that God will supply our needs. Now, we have some worship guidelines. Understanding God's will and worship. Worship means that we adore our God. We give him all the praise. And listen, Pastor Ross is a prince of the pastors. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. The 6 years we've been back here, I have learned more in honoring God and giving all the praise and all the glory to God for everything that we have, everything that we do, and everything that we ever can be. And there's not a message ever preached up here that it is not to honor and glorify our God. That's worship. Worship is understanding God's will. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ephesians 6:6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You see, if you just come and do what you do, because somebody's patting you on the back and say, oh my, what a good job you've done. You'll fall by the wayside very long, because you're going to come in one day and nobody's going to pat you on the back.
Right.
Nobody's going to come up to you after you preach and say, brother, that was a good, great sermon. Believe me, I've preached many of them that nobody said anything. And if you're doing it just for the praise of men, you already have your reward. There's nothing coming from heaven. That's why whether men acknowledge your accomplishments or whether nobody in the world does, the Lord does. Not with eye service, men pleasers, but always remember we do what we do to the honor and glory of our Heavenly Father. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Hebrews 10:36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. 1 Peter 3:17, for it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. You see, if you go out and shoot somebody and go to jail, you're not suffering for the Lord. You go out and get drunk, get carried off to the slammer, you're not suffering for the Lord. You go out and witness to somebody, and somebody gets mad and calls the sheriff on you and they take you to jail, that's suffering for the Lord. I've never had to do that. Most of us have never really suffered much for the Lord. Oh, we may have sacrificed a little bit. But if I had you raise your hand right now, how many could stand up tonight and testify to an event in your life where you suffered for the Lord, where somebody outside of the family of God persecuted you? And now persecution, there's more persecution than somebody not liking you. There's a lot of people that don't like you, let me tell you right now. Kids, sometimes your parents don't like you. And you may as well get used to it. You're not going to be liked by everybody. Just because you're not liked, that's not persecution. I'm talking about where you're put in jail, where you're made fun of by, and this could have happened maybe if you're in public school, kids make fun of you because you stand for Christ, you live right, you dress right, you act right. But most of us have not gone through much persecution. Prayer acknowledges and proves that God will supply our needs. We have the worship guidelines. Secondly, we have worldly goods. Utilizing God's supply. And when I say worldly goods, I mean in a good way. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself in the Lord. John 15:17, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. We already talked about these under another one. But how often does God promise to meet every need in our life? Every need. Why do we worry? Why do we get so upset about things? There's no sense in it. It doesn't accomplish anything, except maybe give you ulcers. And then the last thing, we need some willful growth and unchanging in God's plan. Unchanging. Listen, we are in God's service, and it was the same today, yesterday, and forever. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 8:17-20, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, the blessed hope. And we're reminded of that every day. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, Jesus Christ, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. liberals would have you believe we have a changing religion, that we change with the times. You know, a lot of times when I'm out in other churches and people ask, well, what church do you go to? And I say, I go to Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Indiana. It's a very unique church. If you were to compare our church, you could take the way it was back in the 1960s when Brother Ross and I both got saved the same year in 1966. We both went to Indiana Baptist College. Our lives parallel each other quite a bit up here. But I tell people that if you could take a church out of the 1960s and bring it up to today, that's what you have in Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen. We're not a newfangled church and never will be. Now, I'm not totally opposed to some of the new things some of the churches do. Some of them I can't stand. But I'm proud to be a member of this church and what it stands for. And when people ask me where I go, I say proudly, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen. 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 So we need to pray. We need to pray one for another. We need to have confidence in prayer. We need to have the assurance and the security that it's there, that God's going to meet our every need. Amen. There may be one here tonight who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. The Bible says that the prayer of sinners will not be answered. There's a lot of flack on TV whenever somebody says that. So sinners can't get their prayers answered. They can get the prayer of salvation answered. But God nowhere in His Bible promises to answer any prayer of any sinner. And not only that, if we're saved, but we're living in sin, and we've got an unholy relationship with our Lord, our prayers as Christians, as believers, our prayers are hindered. They'll get no higher than the roof. But if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you need tonight to come to Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior. And then all these promises that I just went through tonight can be yours. Just as much to the pastor and his wife and to people that have been members here for 30 years. I don't care if you got saved last week or I don't care if you get saved tonight. Every promise in God's Word can be yours. But will not be yours unless you come to Jesus Christ. Our Father, we thank You for letting us be here tonight to share this message. Lord, we pray that You would meet the need of every heart. God, we're a needy people. We stand in constant, continual need of Your forgiveness, of Your blessings, and of Your direction and Your help in everything that we do. We praise You and thank You for that. Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, may today be the day of salvation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.